Next song determines what you secretly desire.
Oh.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
This song is called Sweet Baby James. That's creepy.
Hello! And welcome to That's Our Jam. I'm Jenny.
I'm Tracy.
And this is episode one, season two. Season two, episode one?
Season two, episode one.
Folks.
Folks, we're just getting back into the swing of things.
We're not really. It took us a long time to set the equipment up.
We've been here for a day.
We barely don't even know what headphones are. I don't even know what to tell you.
Well, you want to know why?
Folks. This is our mutual excuse.
This is our mutual excuse because there's a reason why we played that cold open from our own podcast.
Yep.
From last season.
Super meta.
It was Next Song Determines. And the next song was supposed to determine what Jenny's heart desired.
And it was Sweet Baby James.
By James Taylor.
Which is a lullaby.
Secretly. About a baby. Secretly, I knew what your heart desired.
Which was?
A baby.
Which I now have.
I mean, no, wait.
Well.
You haven't acquired a baby yet.
I have not acquired baby.
The baby is being made in
your
person.
I'm growing a human.
You're pregnant.
Guys, I'm pregnant.
Yay.
Oh, yay.
It's weird to not get a reaction after you say.
I know. That's true. Pregnant.
Can the animals and no? Okay.
We have a crowd here today.
We have a crowd and none of
them. No one gives a shit. It's
two cats and a dog and nobody cares.
Sleeping.
They're sleeping. Rude. Anyways, Jenny's pregnant.
I'm pregnant. Yay.
So that's the biggest thing that's happened in the months that have passed. So what we're going to do.
That's the biggest thing between since.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a big life change.
Yeah. Personally, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh. I was
personally. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But yeah, since you're going to be pregnant for the majority of this season, we're just going to do a quick little,
Preggo update.
How you doing?
Maybe
we should rename the segment.
No, I like it.
How you doing? But that's more like Joey is hitting on somebody.
Yeah. Like, no one's hitting on me.
Oh, wait. Except for your husband.
Yeah, well.
Not to be named. Maybe it could be like a Rent reference. How do you feel today?
Today.
In one word. So we don't, drag this on.
Forgetful.
Forgetful.
Yeah. Confused? No. We'll go with forgetful.
Forgetful that you didn't remember the word.
I can't remember words, you guys. Pregnancy makes you forget things. It's basically like you're always hungover.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like.
Great.
So like, you know how when you're hungover, you like can't think straight? It's like that. It's like I'm hungover and also have mono, for those of you who have had mono.
So it sounds great.
It's really special.
It's a special time in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The miracle of life.
Miracle. That's I don't know why anyone has kids. That's true.
Those Duggars.
Hopefully by the next podcast, I'll be feeling better. And then this won't be such a drag.
This isn't a drag.
Not this, but me talking about my pregnancy.
Oh.
I'm just trying to keep it real, folks.
Yeah, let's keep it real. If real anybody life. Was to keep pregnancy real, it's this one over here.
It's me. Okay, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, the miracle of life, we're going to talk about something that's not such a miracle. That was sad. Tracy, do you want to talk about maybe something that happened right before we released our last ep, which was the election of he who shall not be named?
Yeah, that was a weird time because we released our last podcast episode the day after, and both of us totally were not.
Could not even,
because I think we were both
devastated.
Devastated, in shock, frustrated, angry, sad, all the emotions.
Dejected. Let me tell you,
Jenny over here worked the polls.
I sure
in
did.
Hopes it would have ended differently.
And it did not. And it was, that was probably actually because I was working the polls better.
To be clear, the voting polls.
I was at the strip club for 8 hours.
On election day.
Yeah. Working the polls, I think, kept me hopeful about the world that day because I don't know. It's like when you see people personally, you don't think like that person's terrible. Mm-hmm. Even though there were people at my polling place who were obviously Trump supporters. And by obviously, I mean because they had paraphernalia on, even though you're not supposed to, yada, yada.
Sure.
So, but they were like nice. And so then I was like afterwards, it made me feel less hateful towards everybody who voted for him. But I mean, I'm still working through that, obviously.
Yeah.
As are you.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
It's just every morning I'm like, what new fresh hell awaits me today?
Yes. I feel like we can't even posit what's happening with Trump because, you know.
There's so many.
Obviously, you guys know that we record a little bit before this is live. So yeah.
Literally,
with
like
everything happening any day. Yeah, it could be anything. But I just think that it's a hard time to be an American.
Yeah.
And be part of a place that you know that all those people voted for somebody who is so hateful.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's that it was, you know, election night. I was checking out the internet, Twitter, what everybody. It was like a slow, holy shit. Oh, my God, this is happening. So that was one of the things is like on election night, I was like watching TV and then also looking at what people were saying on the internet. It was a slow, like, we're very hopeful. And then slowly like, is this happening? Holy shit, this is happening. I can't believe that fucking just happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone has their feelings and tends to put it on social media. And like on Facebook, I was like, I feel like I need to post something, but I don't want it to be out of complete anger. I want it to come from, like, I mean, this is how I carry myself on Facebook anyways, but, like, I want it to come from, like, a logical slash place where I'm not acting out of anger.
Right.
But that's what I kind of mentioned is that you can vote for who you want to vote for if that person aligns with your particular beliefs. That's fine. I will probably not agree with you.
Right.
But the fact that his culture promotes or is okay with, you know, like racism and misogyny and, you know, all the other isms.
All the isms. Literally all of them.
That the people who voted for him were like okay with and were like okay to like brush it off to the side. Like that just like reminds you that we have such a long way to go.
Yes.
And we all just need to like take care of each other. Yeah, and not, for sure. There's just too much hate in this world.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that it's really hard right now because like it's hard for me as a person who's like, okay, but that candidate like literally doesn't stick up for the Jews or doesn't stick up for like makes fun of disabled people and blah, blah, blah. Like the number of things that you could say that you're right. They just brush aside. And it's like, don't you want your president to like show the best of us?
Right.
And I can't help but feel like also a lot of people didn't vote for Hillary because she's a woman.
Sure.
100%. Which like is a whole nother like roadblock as a woman in America. And especially today's not the day, but as a woman in America who's pregnant. So it just like adds like a whole nother layer of like the way that we're treated. And I think that, yeah, now is the time for everyone to kind of come. We're all like coming out of the woodwork and like paying attention and calling our senators and all of that jazz because we are so in shock that that many people can kind of brush aside those things for whatever reason. Right. They don't see it or they are not interacting with him or people in that way. So I think it's a time of learning for our country, hopefully. Yeah. Not just of darkness.
Yeah. I will say that that's like a good thing that's come out of all of this is that people have become more politically active and have paid more attention. Like I admit it, like Jenny's really good at being like politically active before.
Oh, thank post, you.
Before Trump and after Trump eras. But I feel like more people are like paying attention now and want to be a part of something.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, I'll just let somebody else do this. They're being more active, which I think is great.
Yeah. I think it's been a lot better for me because like you said, I'm pretty politically active for like actually a lot of people to know about what's going on because I don't feel alone anymore with like feeling like I'm the only one who's paying attention.
Right.
And I'm just feel a lot more hopeful that now like my friends and family are making a difference.
Well, yeah. And I will say that that day that our podcast came out, November 9th, 2016, Jenny organized, which is a great idea, via moveon.org, like a community get together just to like share our thoughts and feelings in like a local park. And how many people? Like 50?
Like 50-ish yeah.
showed up.
More than I thought.
Of all different, you know, backgrounds and ethnicities and walks of life.
Yeah.
It was real eye-opening, and people are just, like, sharing their emotions.
Yeah, it was really nice, and I feel like now, because I'm, like, out of that meeting came, we have, like, a group of 15 of us that kind of meet and discuss issues and what we want to do and what we want to change. And I'm part of another group that's ladies, that's more just starting. But both of those is like a group of people who want to make a difference, have mm-hmm. issues they care about, and like can focus their energy. And I think that's really important too, like for self-care.
Right.
Because we can't all care about everything. So
right.
I feel that like immediately we got to work, like yeah. less than 24 hours. We yeah. were like, what can we do to
right.
change us?
And I liked it because it wasn't like an anti-Trump rally, although I feel like some people showed up and yeah, thought I mean, that it was. But I mean, it, in a sense was, but it wasn't like we're going to get together and just like shit on him.
Right.
It was a lot of like, now what do we do?
Right. Yeah. It was motivating. Like it was like people saying, this is my experience with America thus far. This right. is my walk of life. Yeah. And like, this is what I'm scared of, but this is what I think we can do.
Yeah.
And like, that was hopeful too.
Yeah. And like, also, just to touch base on like what I mentioned earlier about like different people, there's like immigrants from like Brazil mm-hmm. and like Japan
and Iran.
And Iran. Yeah. Iran, who they're like, we literally left our country to not live under a dictator.
Oh, yeah. And it was an Iranian like, and a Syrian. Yeah. Right? Wasn't it? Or mm-hmm. Sudanese?
No, not Sudanese.
Syrian, I think.
Probably Syrian.
I think Syrian.
But they're like, we left our countries to get away from this. And now I feel like it feels the same.
Yeah.
And that was scary, but also like a rude awakening.
Especially like as, in case you didn't know, obviously I'm white. And like, especially as a white person, like living in California, like it's very easy for us to be like, this won't affect us and it doesn't matter. But right. like it gave me more personal connection to people who I am, even though I'm obviously fighting for my own future, like for them too,
right,
like to be part of America as it's currently made up.
Well, I think that's the problem, is like people are so stuck in their bubbles. We're stuck in a bubble, like
right.
people out in Iowa in the middle of nowhere are stuck in a bubble,
right?
But if we just like go out and like get other people's viewpoints and like you said, like get a firsthand account, then
yeah.
I think we'll just like understand each other more. And
exactly.
that's what we need in this country. So everybody go out and meet your neighbor.
So everybody go talk to somebody you don't know. In an upcoming episode, we're going to talk about like resources and things that you can do in your communities, but that'll be for another day.
Yeah. So that's how we feel. I hope you guys are feeling better about life now.
I'm certainly feeling better for sure.
Yeah. But we still have a long way to go, everybody.
So get up, stand up.
Stand up. Oh, you're right.
Seriously. Love ya.
On a different note, something else that happened while we were away is, yeah. and we actually talked about in that last episode that came out on November 9th, the day after, is the Gilmore Girls revival, you guys.
The Gilmore Girls revival.
It fucking happened. I still, sometimes I'm like, that was the thing that happened. We waited so long. Didn't ever think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then here it was.
And then here it came and it went.
It came and it went. And I know some people have mixed feelings mm-hmm. on it. Jenny.
As do we.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Cool.
Jenny, how did you feel overall?
I think overall, I have
spoilers if you care.
Oh, yeah.
And haven't seen it yet since November. We're about to talk about some spoilers.
Yeah. So, bye. I think that I have with anything, like a love hate of revivals, especially because there's so many of them right now. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, I'm happy it happened just because I know how happy it made the actors. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was like a really nice thing in the world, like especially given what else was going on at that same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a shining light in my November.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy that happened. But overall, I also think that Rory is a giant dick. And I could have done without her, which is sad because she's half the revival. I mean, you know, theoretically half the revival. Yeah. What were your thoughts?
Overall, I was pleased. There were some parts that I disliked, namely, agreed, Rory was making poor choices all around. And the other thing that just, like, really sticks out. I know a lot of people, like, Fall is their favorite.
Is Fall the first one? I always forget. No.
It's winter, spring, summer, and Fall.
Right. All you have I don't to do know. Is Listen. Fall. Fall was their favorite?
Oh, yeah. I think overwhelmingly. There's multiple reasons. I mean, I love it. Okay.
But to be clear, also, I've only seen them all once. Unlike you, who I'm sure has seen them all several times.
I've only seen Fall once.
Okay. Go on.
Because
this was a long time ago. But
yeah.
But I wouldn't say it was my favorite.
Yeah.
But go on.
Well, people like it because of Luke and Lorelai, which I obviously liked it. Whatever, but Life and Death Brigade could not give a shit. I know, like, we have a friend, Caitlin, calling you out. You don't listen to this anyways, but whatever.
She doesn't even know what a podcast is.
She loves the Life and Death Brigade, so she loved that. I also, like, didn't get it. Like, I didn't realize it was, like, a playoff of Across the Universe.
I didn't know that either. At all. My sister texted me when she was watching it and was like, is this a dream sequence?
Yeah, I thought what it was a dream sequence.
She was like, what are they talking about? Like, I don't know that Nikki didn't watch it the way that, like, as it went, and I don't think she watched the seasons where she was in college.
Mm-hmm.
So Nikki was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, and it doesn't make any sense.
And then I explained it, and it still doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So those were my, like, two biggest problems with it.
Yeah.
It
was too much time. I don't need that.
Yeah, they spent way too much of a budget on that. I didn't get it.
Which they could have spent that money on a better wedding. Anyways. Yeah.
Well.
Not the point.
True. But yeah, I agree. Like, there were problems with Rory and Life and Death Brigade, but overall, like, my favorite episode is probably Winter slash Fall. Because of that very first, like, the first 10, 15 minutes I've seen, like, at least 7 times.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing that I've watched on loop, because just being back in Stars Hollow and then the lights turning on and the troubadour singing, like, I could not stop crying.
Yeah.
And then, like, they went to the Gilmore house and it was all pretty. Like, it's literally my wallpaper on my phone because it's, like, so beautiful. And just being back in that world was great.
Well, and I think that's the nostalgia you want to feel for your own life, right? Like, when you go back home, like, those are the moments you crave going back home. And it's like, you can never go back to the best part of high school or the best part of whatever. Like, you can't get that back. But, like, to be in that moment and just be able to feel that same way for a second is, like, what people crave in life, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, one of the reasons I feel like I talked about this in our last episode, but one of the reasons why I love Gilmore Girls is, like, it brings me comfort. So like, it was kind of like going back home.
Yeah, totally. Like,
but
it's like,
this is a fictional place.
Whatever.
I love Amy's writing, so I thought it was still great. I loved seeing Lauren and Lorelai and Rory interact. I liked the Lorelai Emily stuff, especially even though, you know, it was really sad. Oh God, all that Richard Gilmore
stuff
made me sad.
I will say though, I wish that, like, I would have, like, if they were gonna, well, we'll talk about this later, but my favorite parts were Emily, pretty much.
Oh, well, yeah, yes. Emily was so great.
Yeah, just like everything about her was amazing.
I mean, obviously it's sad that Ed Herman died, but, like, I would like to know what Amy would have had planned if he was still alive, because I think his death really brought it to, like, a different level where we saw Emily just in a world where she just has, like, she was wearing jeans. That's how out of control it was.
Well, and it was, like, one of those things where, like, if he hadn't died, like, it almost, like, obviously things in their lives had changed, but it wouldn't have had that drastic feel of, like, oh shit, time has passed.
Yeah.
You know, like, Luke and Lorelai were still together. Like, Rory's still doing her thing. Like, there was nothing else that was so indicative of, like, time passage as that. Mm. Of, like, which is, like, in life. Like, oh shit. Like, people get old, you know?
Yeah. So there's a new, Ted Sardanos, the head of Netflix, recently hinted that there are preliminary talks with Amy Sherman-Palladino and Dan, her husband, and, you know, people picked that up. Not people in the magazine, but also people in the magazine. But, like, media picked that up and fans picked that up as, like, they're making more. But it's, like, you can go to cookiesandsangria.com to read my full thoughts on this. But just because they're in preliminary talks, it doesn't mean shit.
You know what they should do on Netflix? They should do Bunheads. But that's a different story for a different day. I would like to Bunhead season two. But I also don't need more Gilmore.
Yes.
Personally.
Gil-less.
I need Gil-less.
yes, I agree.
Both the character and the show.
Yeah. So, yes, my feelings on this are I don't need any more because the last four words are the last four words. And that's what Amy had planned from circa season two, season three of the original run. And she knew it. And I feel like also the last four words are also divisive. If you forgot, this is what they were.
Mom.
Yeah.
I'm pregnant.
Because that made people want more because they're like, well, now what's going to happen? Rory's pregnant. And now it's like full circle. So now we need to see her pregnant. And I'm like, I don't need that. I just don't need that.
And it's multiple reasons. It's interesting to me for a lot of reasons. First of all, the last four words. I mean, granted, we have no idea what Amy was going to do. But like, were those the last four words when Rory was 23?
Yes.
So like,
well, that's
the
thing. You
know what I mean? Like, that's very different than like her being. Her whole life would be completely different. Like, now she's 33 and she's a fucking adult. And also she got married, like, got pregnant from who? Maybe Logan.
It's
like,
Logan.
So, like, theoretically, it also probably would have been Logan then.
Yes.
But it's also, like, that's just a completely different, maybe she would have been happier or, because she obviously wasn't very happy about it.
Right. Well, this whole thing is, like, that's why it's so divisive.
Right.
Is that, like, she, Amy, planned it, hadn't changed the words since Rory season seven. And people were like, but she's an adult now.
Right.
It's the fact that she says I'm pregnant is not going to say have the same effect as if she just graduated and is off to the Obama campaign.
Right.
So I personally don't need more. I also don't think the actor, like, I feel like it would be forcing the actors to do something that they don't necessarily want to do.
Right.
I feel like we live in a greedy society where, like you said, like, we have so many revivals and reboots.
So many right now.
We don't need it. Like,
no.
It's like Amy didn't get to end her book the way she wanted to originally. She had the chance to write her final chapter the way she wanted, but now people want a sequel, and I feel like it's maybe probably going to ruin it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be ruined.
I would only watch it if it was like just Emily or like an episode about Paris and Doyle or like an episode about Kirk or like an episode. Where's Andrew?
I mean, listen, I have a lot of pros and cons about this. Again, you can read about it on my blog. But I feel like it just it wouldn't benefit anybody.
Yeah.
And
especially I don't want to see Rory's dumb face anymore.
I don't want to see her like complaining as a mom.
Alexis, I love you, but fuck.
Yeah.
She's an asshole.
I also, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, you know, like, that being said, I would still watch it.
Oh, I mean, yeah, for sure.
I
would definitely watch it.
It's a good idea.
But you know what? Okay, can I say something disgusting quickly? So, this is disgusting, but I read all the Twilight books. So, when I read the Twilight books, the author had written, was writing the first book from the boy vampire. I don't know why I had to say boy vampire. Everyone knows it was a boy. From Edward's point of view. Mm-hmm. And it got leaked.
Mm.
And the author asked people not to read it because she was like, wasn't done.
Yeah.
And like, it's not what I wanted. And I remember at the time thinking like, I'm not going to read that because like, I'm going to respect the author's wishes. And I feel like that's what this is. Like,
it
it's
is.
The same situation where it's like, you potentially are going to be, I mean, Amy's an adult and she'll make her own decisions. But like, I feel like it's what you said. Like, it's been ended the way she wanted it to end, and I don't need her to be forced to give us more just because we're greedy assholes. America, the fact that we're greedy got us to where we are right now. So
That is 100% true.
Just remember, if you want more Gilmore Girls, more Trumps are going to be elected.
That is my statement of the day. I don't 100% agree with that. But just like on one last note, Luke and Lorelai still can't believe they're married. I think I said on this podcast, I think they're going to be married.
And you're
right. We should go back and listen to see what we said.
Let's see.
Plus, if Luke and Lorelai get married, which I think they are, it'll still bring in that weird, like,
yeah, that's true. It'd be weird
dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, I think Luke and Lorelai will be married,
and we're gonna see it, and I'm gonna cry all the things.
Yep.
And if
do you think that we're gonna see their wedding?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I think they already got married.
No.
I mean, you did.
I did. Great. Okay. If you have more Gilmore Girls comments, questions, concerns, tweet at us.
That's our jam.
Podcast?
No. I think it's just That's Our Jam.
Or That's Our Jam Podcast.
Look at our website. Gmail. We don't even know.
Yeah, go to our website. That's Our Jam Podcast. Okay.
All right. So speaking of politics.
speaking of nothing.
We are going to do our recurring segment. And today we're going to talk about Congress people.
Yay, politics.
So Tracy.
Uh-oh. Okay. So we've broken it up.
I'm going to throw some senators at you.
I'm going to catch them.
And you let me know. Got to catch them all. Tell me how you feel.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
And go. Orrin Hatch.
Ugh. Sorry. Is this going to be me every single time?
No, okay. It's not going to be you every single time. Mitch McConnell.
Blue. What a dumb face.
Chuck Schumer.
Love him.
Lindsey Graham.
Ugh. Gross. Another dumb face. Speaks weird.
Al Franken.
Oh, he's great. Love him.
Yeah. Oh, great. That was good.
Oh, good.
Those are all the right answers.
Yay.
Orrin Hatch sucks.
I mean, they also.
I will say, though, Lindsey Graham has.
Yes, Lindsey Graham, out of the three of them,
is the least sucky.
Offensive. Mitch McConnell, I just.
Oh, your dumb turtle face. Your turtle face.
Just makes me. And the way he talks, I can't even. I mean, that's spot on.
That's like
it's like he's in the room.
He's here. He's
get
our guest.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm Mitch McConnell. You're so the worst. Ugh.
Well,
also, is it still called nepotism if it's your wife, or is that just favoritism?
Favoritism.
Whatever. Elaine Chao. Is that how you say her last name?
I think so.
I don't know anything about whether or not you can do your job well, but I find it very suspect. It's very sus. Where you are right now. And I think that you should just separate church and state, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. She's listening.
I'm sure she is one of our four listeners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure I'm going to say one of their names right, but.
That's fine.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
And away. Away. Representatives. Go. Jason Chaffetz.
Oh. I don't know who that is.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
He's the Senate. He's the rep from. Utah that got booed.
Oh, hate it.
Yeah.
Him. Hate him.
Devin Nunes.
I don't know who that
Come
is either.
Come on, Jenny. How do I
this
know?
This is embarrassing.
The intelligence guy who.
Oh, I didn't know that's how you said his name. I've only seen it in print. Hate him. Bye forever. You're the worst. I can't believe you even exist. Why would you leak information that you are not supposed to leak? You are not a good committee member. Go on.
She didn't know who that was. Adam Schiff.
Oh, love him.
John Lewis.
Ugh. Love that man.
Joaquin Castro.
Ugh.
Oh my god.
Excuse me. Joaquin Castro and his brother. I never remember his brother's name. It's also a J name. He's the mayor of San Antonio.
Yeah.
I always want to say it's Julio, but I don't know if that's right.
Julian
and Joaquin. They're both great.
Yeah.
But Joaquin is
Jenny's jam, whew. And I can't. She just
need a minute.
Yeah, do you need a minute to yourself?
How do you say that guy's name?
I'm not sure. There's no tilde over the N, so it's either Nunes or Nunez.
See, I've never heard his name said because I just see it in print, and he's the worst.
He's no bueno.
What are you What are you doing? What? How? This is what I don't understand. Why are people not getting fired for what they're doing?
I mean, why
if I did half the things these people were doing, I would be fired.
Uh huh. Yeah,
like you just straight up leaked information to the press that you're not supposed to tell anybody.
Yeah, and why we're still like, that's fine.
What? Like, I don't. Ugh. I get worried if I like have a typo in an email internally and like this is the shit they're pulling.
Yeah.
You should be the, what's the opposite of intelligence? Dumb face committee.
Non-intelligence
committee. Idiots.
Anyway,
what's his first name?
Devin.
Douchebag Devin.
Ugh. So Jenny went from not knowing who it was to just
really hating him. I mean, one of the things about me is that I can always have an opinion about
this
anything.
Is true.
But I did know who that is. I just
also
didn't know.
Jason Chaffetz, not a great guy. He's also dumb.
Wasn't he also the one who said like I can do whatever's in my heart, even though it might not get me a lot? It's not what the people who voted for me want me to do. No, that's not what it, you're representing. Literally, your name is representative. You represent people.
Yeah.
You don't. I mean, like, yes, if your constituents were like kill black people or kill any people, then sure. But like, you don't just get to not do what they want because your God or your heart or whatever the bullshit you're putting it on. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Yeah.
Get a new job.
Great. Okay. That has been hate it or love it. There's a lot of hate.
A lot of hate.
John Lewis. All right, and another recurring segment is That's Our Jam.
That's Our Jam.
Jenny, what do you have to jam about this week?
Well, are you going to laugh? Is probably. It about you usually do. No. God, no. my jam this week is the Marquis de Lafayette, our best friend.
I'm not laughing.
The man.
Oh, a dog just walked in.
Hey,
hi, Luna.
So the Marquis de Lafayette, I just finished reading Sarah Vowell's book, Lafayette in the Somewhat United States.
I didn't know she wrote historical books.
That's all she does. They're all nonfiction.
Who am I thinking of? Is Sarah Vowell a comedian?
She's sometimes on the like nightly, like late night programming.
Oh, maybe that's how I know her.
You probably do. She
oh my God, if you guys could see
the dog animal wrestling
attacking the cat right now.
And now
she's walking away.
So she, yeah, I mean, she looks like that. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So she, yeah, she writes nonfiction books.
Oh.
And she has a whole bunch of them, but and like everyone's always like, you should read her books. They're so good and like whatever. I think most of them are. Yeah. Like,
yeah, honestly, I only know her from like being on like Conan and like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Cause she's like great. Like her books are really interesting and they're like to the point and funny and like great. And I listened to it and, it's like read with a cast like Nick Offerman. Yeah. Like Nick Offerman plays Washington,
ooh.
For example. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is that I love the Marquis de Lafayette, which like I already loved him from Hamilton, mm-hmm. but the book is about obviously the Revolutionary War and his role in it. And it's so interesting because, okay, so in the 1800s, he came back to the US and he was greeted by 50% of the population of New York City.
Wow.
And it was like 30 years later because he had such an important role in the war. Like, and obviously Hamilton's about Hamilton, so it downplays mm-hmm. everyone else's involvement. But, like, he basically, like, guns and ships. Like, he was in France. He was, like, 19. And he got married, got his wife pregnant, and then stole away in the night to America to be, because he was bored and, like, wanted to be part of the revolution. And then basically petitioned the French government to give America money and, like, changed the way that the war was fought and helped win the war. Both because he was, like, commanding troops and, like, was smart militarily, but also because he, like, got a word in edgewise with, like, the peeps back home and, like, got money.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he was a really important part of why we are free. And then there's this whole part in the book about how, remember back in the day when we were, like, calling fries freedom fries and all that bullshit?
Oh,
and it was, like, it was so crazy to be, like, oh, yeah, like, the French are basically why we're free.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, then a bunch of assholes in 2003 or whatever year that was, like, decided the French sucked because they wouldn't help us in Iraq. Hello. Anyways.
Yeah.
The point is the Marquis de Lafayette is the reason y'all are here. So.
So it's a good book.
That's my jam. It's a good book. You should read it.
Great. Sarah Vowell. And Sarah what's Vowell. The name of it?
It's called Lafayette in the Somewhat United States.
I love that.
So good.
Somewhat United States.
So good.
That's great. Speaking of Gilmore Girls, my jam this week is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is the new pilot created by Amy Sherman-Palladino for Amazon.
How have you seen it?
It's currently streaming online.
Oh, okay.
For free without you, like, you don't have to be a member.
So did it already get picked up?
So the what Amazon does is they put like a group of their pilots mm-hmm. online for people to watch, and then people can review it and rate it and like take a survey, so, and like, that's how they pick up the pilot.
Like People's Choice.
Kind of, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So there's like, I want to say there's like six or so Amazon pilots mm-hmm. right now online that you can watch. Allegedly, it's the best one out of this crop. I dare say this is out of like Bunheads, Gilmore Girls. I think those are the main shows besides like Jezebel James, which was not even on TV. Maybe her strongest pilot I've ever seen.
Really?
It's also like, so the premise is Mrs. Maisel is a housewife from like 1958. Mm-hmm. So it's like late 1950s, early 1960s. She's a housewife who wants to become a stand-up comic.
What?
In New York. She's
in the
very
late
Jewish.
50s? I love this.
It's great. It still has, because I'm like such a hardcore Gilmore Girls fan and have watched like all of Bunheads, like I can tell that it's Amy Sherman-Palladino with like certain Palladino-isms, if you will. Mm-hmm. But like if you're a casual viewer, you will not know who it is. You'll really enjoy it. It's funny. It has like the dramatic and comedic beats that I loved about Gilmore Girls, mm-hmm. but like more intense.
Is it an hour or half an hour?
It's an hour.
Okay.
Go to Amazon.com and it'll be, or just like search Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I'll also have a link up on our website, but I cannot recommend it more. If you liked Mad Men and like that, like environment and atmosphere mm-hmm. of like 1960s New York, and mm-hmm. the costumes are great. Rachel Brosnahan, who, if you watched House of Cards, she played Rachel the prostitute on House of Cards.
Oh, she's so great.
Which I heard her casting and I was like, okay, like she's fine. She is so good in this.
I really like her.
It's like a star role in it.
Ugh.
It's so good. Also, a few GG/Bunheads alums are in it.
Mm.
Guys, I cannot recommend it more. Please watch it and,
I'm gonna go watch
and
it
rate
right now.
It because it needs to get picked up. I'm assuming it will be because it also has like a big name behind it. But like, trust me. Remember when I told everybody to watch This Is Us?
You were right.
We were right.
That was the best.
And now
This Is Us.
So, the end. That's all I have to say. Watch Marvelous is Mrs. Maisel and make sure it gets picked up.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.
Actually, not bye.
No, we have more to say. Okay. So.
Another episode in the books.
I can't believe it. That's season two.
Season two.
So,
I mean, that's not the end.
No, it's the beginning. It's just the beginning, folks. So if you want more of me, which you probably don't because I'm being crazy today, but. You can find me at garlicmysoul.com, which is my food blog, and I am also on the Twitter and Instagram and all that fun stuff.
And you can check me out at cookiesandsangria.com and also at cookiesangria.
All the social medias. And you can find us at
thatsourjampodcast.com. Okay, cool.
Remember when Christopher was in the revival?
Yes. See, it was the best thing that I periscoped him that one time.
It was.
Periscope?
He's meant for that moment.
He's
one of those people that gets just better with age.
Oh, my God. What a handsome guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, you can find us on Twitter as well at That's Our Jam.
And if you liked this, review us on iTunes.
Please.
Por favor.
It helps because then someday we can talk about Squarespace. Who does not? Give us money for this podcast.
This episode is brought to you by not Squarespace.
Yes.
It's Circle Room.
Nope.
Okay. Anyways, thank you to, as always, Megan Roy, Megan-Roy.com, who designed our logos.
And thank you to Steve, our good friend who did all of our music, who still doesn't have the internet, but someday we hope will.
That's it.
That's it.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks, everyone.
All right.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.